All right, welcome to section 2 for Computer Science E259, where we'll focus on the DOM aspects and then the others of interest to you for project 1. Thus begins the casual Q&A. Is there something specific you'd like me to address or someplace you'd like me to begin? Just want to know what you don't know you don't know? Okay, so why don't I at least do this? Take a couple minutes just to show you the relevant files that we didn't look at last week so that you at least have a sense of where everything fits in. So what I'm doing is I'm into my MF directory of the source code tree, and earlier in lecture I enumerated the new files that we didn't talk about last week. We already looked at node.java, which if you're walking yourself through the code at home is probably a very good place to start, and it's pretty straightforward, I would say. Again, you get the most obvious methods you might expect: get name, set name, get value, and so forth, and a couple of others of interest. Why don't we take a quick look at element.java, which again is a class that extends Node. So again, to be clear, one of the differences with the my first parser's implementation of these things is we're just using classes. We're not dealing with interfaces and so forth. What I'm going to do first is move Bob's solution code, lest this be too helpful of a session, over to a new directory, and I'm going to get a fresh copy of our code. And project 1.7.0. All right, so I'm in our MF directory again. What I'm going to do is open element.java, and I will do my best to refer to line numbers, though probably can get away without even doing that, since as you'll see in element.java 1, useful thing to note is that it does extend Node, and this is where we get our ability to have sort of polymorphic behavior based on Node introspection. We have a constructor which just creates a new node of a given name, and then we have a get node type which returns the type of node here. Well, how do you go about setting names and setting values? Wherein lie those routines? Well, again, remember this thing descends from node.java, so per lecture, that's where you get a lot of the more basic functionality, the functionality that's not element-specific. So let's take a look at attr.java. This is DOM's implementation of an attribute. It, too, is a node. Doesn't use all of the same features as others, can't have children, for instance. It's got a constructor which takes a name and a value and sets them accordingly using the parent class's implementations of those. It's got node type, which obviously needs to be defined so that it returns attribute node. And the interesting method here is we override the parent class's implementation of append child because it's nonsensical to try to append a child to an attribute node. So we actually throw an exception if a foolish developer tries to add a child to an attribute. That would be a legitimate error. And so we do that. So even though you're about to experience a bunch of new files, realize that the juiciest is perhaps node.java, and the others really just give marginal improvements or marginal new features on top of those. Attributes we looked at last week. Let's take a look at document.java. This too, pretty similar in spirit to what it's doing. It's returning its own document node type up here on line 25. And then an interesting method that comes with the document class is this get document element, which, though confusingly named, returns the root element of the document. And the means by which it's doing that is it's grabbing the child nodes of this, the document element, and then it's just checking, is there in fact a child node there? And if so, go ahead, and return it. So again, not code that you necessarily have to touch, but at least useful to know that it's there and how everything is working. So finally, let's just assume that text nodes are pretty similar in spirit and look at XML parser. So XML parser, recall, has this goal in life of parsing an XML document and then doing what upon encountering items of interest? Firing the sex events. Right, it's the XML parser that already, out of the box, fires things like start document, start element, end document. The only thing it doesn't do very well is handle attributes. Right, it calls start element for you, but it just passes in null. which is one of your jobs to fix. Well, if XML parser is just a SAX parser, really, well, wherein lies the DOM building code? Well, again, it's in DOM builder. .java, which is one of the remaining new files for this week. And the comments up top rather explain how this thing operates, but notice yourself that it extends default handler, which means the means via which we're going to build the DOM is by leveraging your existing SAX code. Once it's presumably working correctly, we're going to build the DOM out of SAX events, right? You've already written that, so now all you have to do, if you recall that visualization where we had a document in Lecture 3 being parsed and turned by a content handler and then being represented as a DOM, well, all you need to do is, what was that upper right quadrant from tonight, which is the DOM building part upon receipt of those SAX events. Unfortunately, we didn't give you much of this. We give you in DOM builder private reference to the document node, and that you have to keep around, because if you don't hang on to that, you have really nothing to show for any of your DOM building work. And then we already implemented for you, perhaps the easiest of these, get document, which returns the root of the document. So the big old to-do there is where you're presumably going to have to implement a number of methods. Now again, to be clear, this is a content handler at the end of the day, because it extends default handler. So what does that mean? What kinds of methods are you going to need to implement where it says to do down here on line 43 of dombuilder.java?
Start element.
Start element, and you want to just copy-paste its signature so that you're overriding the parent class's null implementation of that. So start element you're going to want to implement. Get end element. So start element and end element. And just to recap our story from tonight, well, start element instantiates presumably a new element node from element.java, gives it a name, tacks on its attributes ultimately, and then updates some kind of internal reference that you're probably going to want to maintain, not just to the document element, but to the currently in use element, what I called my left finger in tonight's visual example. So you're going to need some kind of variable to keep track of where you are in the tree, because every time you call start element, you're going to update that pointer so that you're deeper into the tree. And every time you, any time end element gets called, what do you do with your finger with this reference? Move it, right. Move up one layer in the tree and go to its parent. So presumably in the class here, you might have some member variable that's just a private reference to whatever node is currently being pointed at by, you know, what was my finger tonight. So you'll need that. You'll need the characters event. You pretty much just copy the signatures from default handler, which don't do anything, and make them do something interesting. And you know from Lecture 3 what story together they should tell. Finally, there is one tweak that you're asked to make in XML serializer, which mostly works already, right? It does the pretty printing of an XML document. Unfortunately, we cut corners intentionally because in start element, there's a big old to-do that says write element's attributes, if any. This should not take you long. This is like three lines of code here, because once you've got attributes working, all you're going to get back is some kind of linked list of attributes. So with just a for loop or a while loop, you can iterate over those and just print name equals quote-unquote value space, name equals quote-unquote value space, and so forth. So XML serializer can be one of the last things you do once your SAX parser is working, and it shouldn't be a challenge if you've already gotten your attributes working. And just to recap, in this directory, so a few new files, all of which we've looked at except for text.java, which is very similar to the other new ones. Oh, finally, DOM Walker. This DOM Walker code is what's used in the tester class to really just test your DOM. So what this DOM Walker code does is it simply has a visit routine that starts with the starts with some node that our tester routine passes to it, and it quote-unquote visits each of these nodes. And what this file, what this program ultimately does is walk through your whole DOM, and if it is correct, this little test routine should encounter no problems. That is, it should be able to walk the entire DOM successfully. And I'll defer to the spec and to the code itself for how that's working, but this too is something you should turn your attention to after you think you've got your DOM builder working. So to recap, what you should have done already, or should certainly finish doing quite soon, is get the SAX the XML parser code that actually handles attributes correctly working. The next step for you to do is probably to update XML serializer so you can check that code and actually have it print out attributes as well as everything else. Once you've got that done, that pretty much exhausts the SACS part of the project for the most part. What you can then proceed to do is DOM builder, or rather, DOM builder. Java, and actually make your own content handler that uses your SACS parser to build up a DOM, and then finally DOM walker to make sure that your DOM is correct, and certainly adhere to any other constraints imposed by the project. But in spirit, XML parser, XML serializer, DOM builder, DOM walker, submit. Is things in a nutshell. Questions on the project?
Yep. Mm-hmm. I ended up leveraging ATTR class for attributes. Were you expecting us to use our own subclass to keep track of attributes, or should I?
So it's a good question, just to repeat for the mic. So you, for your implementation of XML serializer, use the attr class, which...
Inside
the attributes object, I presume. So as I mentioned in the footnote, that's technically... not the right spirit, insofar as though these APIs, SACS and DOM, are terribly similar, there really is a conceptual and an implementation wall between the two of them, such that attr is really designed for DOM, and SACS uses attributes for its collection and then something else inside. But absolutely, it makes perfect sense from a design perspective to use exactly the same kind of class, literally copy the file called attr and call it SACS attr, and have it be the component members of an attributes object. But there's a reasonable argument to be made that why would you copy and paste the file if it already exists, it's in the same package for our tree. So the short of it is that what you did, I think, is fine, but what you should appreciate is that that's not really how it's meant to be. Other questions? No? All right, well, why don't we officially conclude this part here, and certainly continue to make use of email to me directly or to the listserv, which looks like it's been helpful for many of you as well. See you next week.